Will you turn with me again, please, to Gospel of John, to the chapter 16. And our text this morning is the last verse of the chapter, the verse 33. They are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ: "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Let's bow, please, in a moment's prayer, and seek the help of God in the preaching of His Word. Our Father in heaven, oh, that we might rejoice today in the knowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, has overcome this world, and that in Him and through Him that we have peace, peace, perfect peace, peace with God. Oh, that we might rejoice in that peace today. Give us help as we go through this portion of Thy Word. Might Thy Holy Spirit be our teacher and reveal to us the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask in Thy precious name. Amen. John chapter 16, verse 33. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Before the abolition of slavery in the United States of America, many of the Africans who had been deported and enslaved were greatly affected by the moving of God through what was known as the Second Great Awakening, a time of revival that the Lord sent to that part of the world. And through His Holy Spirit, many of them were brought to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And though they were slaves, they were believers, rejoicing in the things of God, and they began to sing many of the psalms and the hymns. But in addition to that, they also began to sing what are referred to today as spiritual songs. And many of those songs flowed out of the oppression that they had experienced as slaves and the liberty that they now found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the more mournful songs that was birthed during those days of slavery was the song, "Nobody Knows the Trouble I've Seen." And that's something we can all respond to. It's true for each and every one of us. During the course of our lives, we both see and experience a great deal of trouble, much of it deeply personal. And it's unrealistic for us to expect anyone else to fully understand the impact that those troubles have had upon us. Nobody knows the trouble that I've seen. Now, every human suffers. Yet in our weakest moments, we tend to assume that the other person hasn't suffered as much as we have. Or perhaps they haven't suffered at all. Of course, that's just a fallacy, and it arises from the simple fact that just as others cannot see our pain and suffering, neither do we see theirs. We only truly understand our own. But it's something we're all acutely aware of, that we have in this world times of tribulation. Job said that man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. The psalmist David said in Psalm 25, "The troubles of my heart are enlarged." The prophet Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, lamented, "We looked for peace, but no good came. and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. The Apostle Paul could say to the church in Corinth, we are troubled on every side. And here in our text this morning, we find the Lord Jesus Christ addressing his disciples and reminding them that in the world ye shall have tribulation. You will have trouble. Of course, sometimes we bring the trouble upon ourselves. We stay in troublesome situations that could be avoided. Someone said if you could kick the person most responsible for your troubles, you wouldn't sit down for a week. We bring a lot of it on ourselves. And just as that old song says, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. But then the second line says this, nobody knows but Jesus. In his book, The Attributes of God, A.W. Tozer spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ in this way, that he was partaker of the human name. He knows the frailty of our frame. Or as the Apostle Paul put it, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I want to preach this morning from this 33rd verse of John 16, and to bring to you that stirring message that somebody knows the trouble I've seen. The Lord Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now when the Lord Jesus says and speaks of these things at the beginning of the verse, he's referring back to the previous chapters that have compromised that intimate message that he shared with his disciples. From chapter 13 until now, we have the Lord's farewell message to his beloved disciples. In chapter 13, he spoke about them as followers. In chapter 14, he spoke of the Father. In chapter 15, he spoke of their fruitfulness. Now in chapter 16, he's speaking about their future. And as he brings this farewell message to a close, these are the very last words that he says before he begins to pray. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. These are his final words of instruction. And as we look into this verse, we learn some important truths. There's something vexing about the statement of our Savior. In this world, ye shall have tribulation. Now I wish I could stand here this morning and tell you with great assurance that everything will be well in your life. That once you come to Christ, that you'll know the smile of heaven upon you to such an extent that nothing will ever go wrong again. That you will have health and wealth and bounty on every side. I know that that's a message that's preached in churches today, but it's not the message that we find in the Word of God. I would be telling lies to you this morning if I told you that when you come to Christ that all of your problems will be solved. I don't know how those proponents of the health and wealth gospel, I don't know how they read John chapter 16. I don't know how they get around these words of our Savior. Because he clearly says, in this world you shall have tribulation. There's no escaping it. Trouble will come your way. Be ready for it. The Lord uses these problems to test our faith and to bring us to maturity. The Apostle James says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. There are times when the Lord will try our faith. He will put us through the furnace. He will turn up the heat. His intent is to burn away the dross and the impurities from our life, that we might be perfect and whole, wanting nothing. In this world, ye shall have tribulation. Ye shall have it. It's something that's ongoing. It's something that has perhaps already started and will continue through the present and into the future. It's something that's continuing. Ye shall have it. Now, what is this tribulation? It simply means affliction, or anguish, or persecution. The word itself means to be pressed upon. You think of the grapes being put into the press to squeeze the juice out. Well, we are being pressed together. The same word is used in verse 21 when the Lord Jesus is speaking of a woman in the distress of childbirth. He says, as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. It's the same word that's translated tribulation. It's a distress. And it's something that we shall experience. We can't and we ought not to ignore the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. We ought to be thankful for them. They are new each morning, the prophet tells us. But neither would we be faithful to the Lord or to his gospel if we pretended that there was no difficulty or no pressure ever found in our lives. I'm not going to give you a list of personal hardships so that I can gain your sympathy, because I know you've had your own hardships and your own difficulties. Suffice it to say that each and every one of us have known by experience the truthfulness of our Savior's words. In this world ye shall have tribulation. We all have our own personal list, and maybe it's hidden from others around us. And maybe nobody knows the trouble you've seen. Nobody but Jesus. Listen to the Apostle Paul's testimony of the Jews. Five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Yes, in this world we shall have tribulation. There's something vexing, troubling about these words that the Savior gives his disciples. But there's also something victorious in this statement. The Savior said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a comfort for our soul. And notice how different it is from the tribulation of which he speaks. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Underline that word but in your Bible. It is a word that introduces the next statement that stands in opposition to all that went before. We might say, nevertheless, or notwithstanding all of the trouble that you are enduring, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And this comfort that the Savior gives to us is set forth in terms of courage. Be of good cheer. Take comfort from these words. Be encouraged by these words. Be bold with these words. Be confident. The Lord is calling upon us to place our confidence in Him. Notwithstanding all of the terrible things that are happening, rest assured that I have overcome the world. We are summoned by the Lord Jesus to be of good cheer. He will chase away the anxiety and distress. The disciples will be constantly threatened by persecution and the threat of martyrdom. They will live through days of anxiety and trouble. Yet the Lord says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Place yourself into the hands of Him who is the victor over all things. Why would you fear what the world can do unto you when I have overcome the world? The Spirit of God has come to give us joy. The Apostle Paul identifies joy as one of the aspects of the Spirit's fruit in our life. It's one of the distinguishing marks of a true believer. The Spirit of God comes alongside us in the midst of our sorrow and breathes into us a sense of that divine joy. He gives us the same joy that Christ has in Himself. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. John 15, verse 11. It's the joy of our Savior that the Spirit brings to our lives. It's joy in the midst of trials and adversities and sufferings. That even in the very midst of all of those tribulations in our life, that we can have true joy in our heart. There's comfort in knowing the Savior because He is the conqueror. He has overcome the world. The word overcome means that He has deprived it of its power. He has neutered the world. He has subdued the enemy. He is the conqueror. Listen to the words of Adam Clarke as he paraphrases the Savior's statement here, I have overcome the world. He said, I am just now going to my death to put it and its God to the rout. My apparent weakness shall be my victory. My humiliation shall be my glory. And the victory which the world, the devil, and my adversaries in general shall appear again over me, but it shall be their lasting defeat and my eternal triumph. Fear not. I have overcome the world. Therein lies the source of our great joy. Not in the fierceness of the troubles that we endure, but in the knowledge that Christ has overcome the world. that nothing happens to us in this world except that it comes filtered through the loving hands of our Savior. So while there is something vexing about our Savior's words, there's also a word of comfort and victory. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So something vexing and something victorious and something vital. Look again at those words, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. The vital aspect of our Savior's statement is the peace that we can know even in the midst of all of our troubles. And it's a peace that's only found in Him. If you look back a few pages into chapter 14 and the verse 27, the Lord offers a similar promise there. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Here the Savior assures us of the constant nature of His divine attention. He will never forget us. He'll never forsake us. As our God, He neither slumbers nor sleeps. His watchful eye is ever upon us. And He looks upon His beloved children, the redeemed that He has purchased with His own blood, and He sees us and He intercedes for us continually. Have you ever noticed how a little child can be relaxed in almost any circumstance as long as he knows that his parents are nearby and are watching him? That he gains a great security in knowing that mum and dad have their eyes upon me, that they will allow no trouble to come my way. And the little child finds great delight and great comfort in knowing that my parents are watching over me. Is that not what the Savior is saying to us in the greater spiritual sense? That the Lord is watching over us. Even in these times of tribulation and sorrow and difficulty. Do we not realize that God sees us? And what joy there is in knowing that He that began a good work in us will continue it until the day of our final redemption is complete. To know that He has set His eye of redeeming love upon us, that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ungodly and unlovely though we were, He set His affections upon us. He has saved us. He will keep us. He will bring us to heaven and glorify us. Is there not joy and peace in knowing that Christ has redeemed us out of the hand of the enemy, has transferred us into the kingdom of light and glory? That though we were once at enmity with God, that through His own grace, through His death on our behalf, that we are now reconciled to God, that we are now the children of God, that the peace of God now reigns in our heart, and here is a joy that no one and nothing can take from us. These final words of our Savior are words of richest importance. It's the parting message of our most loving friend. Peace. I give you peace. Sometimes when we pray over the offerings that are brought in, we might ask the Lord to bless the gift and the giver of the gift. Well, behold the gift of peace that the Lord has given to us. And we can face anything in this life when we have the assurance that we belong to Christ and He's watching over us. Fox's Book of Martyrs tells the countless stories of Christians who faced torturous deaths at the hands of the enemies of the gospel. And throughout those stories there is a common theme: the assurance that they can face even death being burned at the stake for Christ's sake, because they found peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. They've taken comfort from Him. The Apostle Paul brings it out so clearly there in Romans chapter 8. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Such assurance of the sufficiency of Christ for us. Does it not bring unceasing joy to our soul to know that our Savior is all sufficient? He gives us peace. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Our peace can only be found through the Lord Jesus Christ. He personifies peace. In Isaiah 9 verse 6, you read these wonderful words: for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Paul said in Ephesians 2:14, He is our peace. He is our peace. And we have peace in Christ because not only is He peace, but He gives us peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. One afternoon, Friday, 7th of June 2002, New Tribes missionaries Martin and Gracia Burnham were huddled together for the last time in a hammock beneath a makeshift tent in the mountains of southwest Philippines. A year previous, Gracia and her husband Martin had been pilot missionaries for the New Tribes mission. They had been holidaying in the Philippine Islands. They were celebrating the wedding anniversary when one morning some Islamic terrorists entered into the resort and kidnapped 20 people. Now, most of the hostages were ransomed and set free, but the missionaries and a Filipino nurse were held captive. Months followed of sickness, and starvation. They travel through the jungles with their captors. Occasionally, they were interrupted with gun battles between the terrorists and the Philippine military. Yet through it all, they managed to hang on to their faith. They encouraged themselves by recalling the Bible passages that they could remember. 7th of June 2002 saw the Philippine military initiate another attempt to rescue the hostages, and unfortunately Martin and the Philippine nurse were caught in the crossfire and were killed. Gracia was wounded in the leg but was quickly evacuated and was brought back to the United States, where she was reunited with her children. After she had returned home, she wrote about her experiences in a book that she entitled In the Presence of Mine Enemies. During those 376 days of their kidnap, she confessed to going through times where she doubted the love of God toward her. But at those times they began to sing some of the hymns that were their favourites and they knew well. They recounted some of the passages of the scripture that they held so dear. And she says, gradually my crisis of faith passed. I realised that it would do no good to be angry with God. He had neither inspired the terrorists to abduct us, nor would he force them against their will to release us. Instead, he would sustain us day by day, night by night, mile by mile, as long as it would take. Martin, she said, would sometimes help me get to sleep by singing his favourite hymn. Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than psalm. In celestial-like strains it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. And she said, in that divine peace, I could rest. I would encourage you this morning, in the midst of your tribulations and your difficulties, to find that peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a peace that he has promised to us. It's a peace that's found in him alone. It's that peace in knowing that he has overcome the world and that he will come one day to judge it in righteousness and in holiness and bring us to the Father's house, where we might abide in that perfect peace for all eternity. Might we know that peace through the Lord Jesus Christ.